This is a special bonus edition of Judaism Unbound. It's all good. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Lex Rothberg.
And I'm Wendy Bernstein Lash.
And we are thrilled to be back for our second bonus episode of Elul out of four weekly bonus episodes. The title of this is It's All Good. Emphasis on the all. And it's a cryptic title, a little bit. But let's just see, Wendy, what does this title mean to you? I'll weigh in with my thoughts too, but how do you understand this idea of it's all good?
You know, not just Judaism, but many traditions have this sense of this is what you do and this is nice and sacred over here. And when you do that, that's profane or that's not sacred. We have Havdalah, you separate Shabbat from the regular days. So, you know, we've got ideas that are given to us that some things are at a higher level of sacredness or sanctity than other things. And what the title says to me is that's bull. I'll say that's bullshit. I can say that, right?
Preach.
I've always been a bit of a rebel, so I guess I'm a rebel spiritual director. But in a way, spiritual direction, this practice that I love to bring and love to do with people, is about looking at the everything in life can be filled with godness, if you want to use that. You know, everything. I mean, we even have in our liturgy a Sheri Yatzar, which is the sense that Judaism does say that it's all wonderful. You know, we talk about a Sheri Yatzar being the bathroom blessing too. You know, like we have this, mm-hmm. We get to say something as we eliminate our waste. What could be more profane than that? So that's what it means to me. It's all good. How about you?
How about me? Okay. We've got 3 hours, right? No. First off, I want to be very thrilled that you said the word bullshit early on. This was not on purpose, but this episode is about sacred and profane, and bullshit is a profanity. We didn't even mean to do that, but now we get to put the explicit marker in Apple Podcasts, and more people will listen to it because it looks edgy with a little red, oh, this is going to be all interesting because we use swear words. In every realm, from the words we use right on down, we've been taught that certain things are sacred. And other things are unsacred, are profane. And the claim of this episode with It's All Good is there is sacredness in the profane. So I want to do some examples, though, of what this might mean in practice to understand elements of our lives as sacred that we might otherwise see as mundane. And to do that, I want to reflect on this has happened a couple times to me. I'm thinking of a few moments, but I have been at some, you know, spiritual retreats for rabbinical school or otherwise, where we're praying with each other. My practice is, you know, I'm using whatever siddur, whatever prayer book. And when I'm done, I kiss that prayer book. You know, we could go into a whole thing about Jewish relationships to books and, you know, why we kiss these. It's like a whole interesting thing. But basically, the important thing here is that I kiss whatever my prayer book is. And when I'm at these retreats, I often don't bring my own prayer book. I pray from my phone. I go online. I find, you know, the prayers that we're saying, and I pray from that. There have been multiple times where it's, you know, a day with a Torah service, and, you know, people march around the room with the Torah. And what do people do when that happens? They generally take their prayer book, they like, kiss it to the Torah, or they kiss it to their mouth and the Torah. Like, and I've done that with my phone, because that's what I'm praying from. It's the prayer book. It's the same thing. From my perspective, it's not more holy than a book or less holy than a book. It's what I'm using. And people have said to me afterwards, like, that felt weird to me. I know, like, they haven't done it meanly, but they've been like, that felt off to me. And I wanted to just, like, talk about it, not as a big challenge. But from my perspective, it's only because we've been taught somehow that cell phones, they're in the realm that is unholy. Prayer books are marked in our minds as part of the holy realm. Cell phones are not. And so you kiss things from the holy realm, and that's fine. And you don't kiss things from the other realm. And I, in a similar rebellious spirit to what you said before, like, I always want to question what we have tended to mark as sacred and profane. Because we all know in many eras, we've marked entire groups of people as sinful or wrong, that we shouldn't have been marking as sinful or wrong. So I generally want to look at things we mark as unsacred and be like, could that actually be sacred? And maybe are there ways in which the things we think are sacred over here actually have some huge issues? Like, I want to be on that playing field. So I'm curious, Wendy, if you have any examples from your life of like things that are particularly sacred or holy to you that others might not understand that way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I actually want to say, as you were talking, I was thinking about, we have a tendency, or we've been given this sense of compartmentalizing things. And I think what we're trying to say here is break down all the walls and all the barriers. So for me, early on, I recognized swimming as a spiritual practice. And what that means is it gives to me the kinds of things that I do spiritual practice for. It helps me be reflective. It stops my mind from overthinking. It's great for my body. I feel, you know, I just feel more present. So why the hell can't swimming be a spiritual practice? And I've put it, when I used to teach, I would put all these spiritual practices that people could try, and I'd put swimming on there, and inevitably somebody else would say, oh, I swim. Is that a spiritual practice? I'm like, well, it can be. So, you know, looking at reading comics, right? Is that a spiritual practice? Well, it can be. What is it that animates you, that makes you feel alive, that makes you feel more present, that makes you feel the holiness in the sacredness in this moment? I think almost anything could be in that category.
Yeah, I mean, I love your response of it can be. Because look, if the answer to is swimming a spiritual practice was yes by somebody, if somebody said that, I would actually be uncomfortable with that answer, because that implies that there's some that just recreates a holy realm, right? Like that takes my problematic thing where some things are holy and other things aren't, and it just draws the boxes around a new set of things. So like now swimming is in the holiness box, whereas before it was in the unholy box. I want to say there are no boxes, and the thing that makes something holy is, I mean, it's our choice. Like, we ascribe holiness. It's very, like there's something that I think would make people uncomfortable here, because I'm basically implying that it's in our hands as human beings and not in God's hands to mark what sacred even means. And so, yeah, swimming can be sacred. If you just swim one day and there's no thought or no, like, intention in it, I don't see it as a spiritual practice. I think there are ways where retrospectively you could look back on it and be like, oh yeah, I guess there are ways in which this connects me to my body, and you know, even just immersing in water. There's ways in Judaism where immersing in water, of course, is understood to be a process that can be connoted holy. But like, that's not the game. I don't want to do that. I want to say like, wow, we already in our lives do all sorts of things on a daily basis that, if we choose to, if we take that it can be approach of holiness, we can make those spiritual moments. And it's not that we need to wake up and be like, oh my gosh, I'm brushing my teeth and this is a transcendent interaction with God. And then I'm pouring my cereal and that's also a transcendent interaction with, like, by the way, if that's how somebody lives their life, like, cool. I don't have a problem with that, but that's overwhelming to me. But what I can do is I can here and there step back and be like, you know, I noodle on my keyboard. I noodle on my piano at home regularly, like very regularly, every couple days at least, even more under the pandemic. I experience something deep when I do that. And there's not always words. Sometimes there are words that I feel like I'm thinking about or that I'm singing, but there's something deep happening. And I've started, as I begin that noodling, to permit myself to enter into a holiness experience, to understand what I'm doing in a similar sense to how I understand myself walking in to a prayer service, to, you know, whatever other realm that's like more obviously holy. And it works. Like, there's nothing different or less about it. And it's not better either. It's not that I experience more spiritual juices from the piano than I do from the synagogue service. Sometimes there's this tendency to be like, oh yeah, services are the worst, and we should all be doing these alternatives. I do lots of the alternatives. I think it's just how you choose to orient to it. So that's why, you know, it's all good. Maybe we should like amend it to it's all good, the title of this episode, when you choose to make it good. I don't know.
Well, it certainly brings the concept of kavanah, of intention, the Hebrew word kavanah, that when you put an intention to something, that already aligns it to be, you're creating the container and the orientation to make it so. I also think there's something about when we do things over and over again, we get dulled to them. They're not new anymore, so we're not as awake. And it's funny, I didn't think about bringing this up as an example, but because I haven't done it in 4 months, when I started indoor rock climbing, I'm like, holy cow, this is a spiritual practice. I was just doing it because I wanted to be stronger and cooler. But it was, I got to think about this wall and where I'm going. And so all the crap that I've been thinking about and worrying about of the day has to go away. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I realized that I think it lost a little bit of it as I started doing it over the years. But the first few climbs were like spiritual experiences for me because I was so one with the wall. It was amazing. Discovering something new inside of us, some new experience awakens us in ways that doing the same thing over and over doesn't necessarily. It's not saying that, hey, if you love to do this and you love to do it every day and you love to do it every week or whatever, you're not supposed to be, that's no good. It's just saying that we do have a more awake quality when we're trying something new, when we're doing something differently. And that then invites us to, we have to be more present and we can be then maybe more fully into the experience than, you know, I know this prayer. I can just say this and my mind can be tripping someplace else and not really focusing on what I'm saying.
We love and endorse wordplay on Judaism Unbound and on Elul Unbound. And you self-identified as a rebel at the beginning of the episode. I also identify as a rebel for a variety of reasons, especially as a Jewish rebel. And I want to do a little wordplay thing. Wendy, that cool?
Sure.
Sweet. So, and by the way, this is a wordplay that I think is particularly worth doing in an episode about inverting sacred and mundane or sacred and profane. So rebel, if we were to break it down into Hebrew constituent parts, which is a silly thing to do on one level, right? It's, you're taking a mundane language in quotes, English, and you're converting it into Hebrew, which is of course understood as Lashon Kodesh, the holy tongue. So like, how dare you on one level, right? But I'm going to do that. So rebel, if you were to pretend it's Hebrew for a second, you could see Reb, so Rebbe, and Ael. Ael is a word for God. So here we are thinking that rebels are those who are problematic and don't play by the spiritual rules and are positioned by authority figures as somehow being wrong and straying from what's holy. Actually, here's where the wordplay comes in. Like, they are rebbes toward or for Ael. So my claim and the core claim of this episode is that when you find that cell phone you're going to kiss, or when you relate to swimming as or rock climbing as that deep spiritual practice, you're not diminishing the spiritual practices like a synagogue service, you know, those pieces of meditation, those that are like more readily understood as spiritual practices. It's not that you're like saying screw you to God, to go profane again. No. You are elevating the holiness in something that has otherwise been seen as lowly and mundane. You know, what's the thing that you did earlier today that you're going to do tomorrow that you didn't think of as holy that like tomorrow you're going to relate to as a sacred thing? Could be the brushing your teeth. I said that as like a joke earlier, but like maybe it is the brushing your teeth. Maybe it's something else. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode, this bonus episode. We've got two more coming. Last week, we had an awesome Zoom gathering, and we very much hope that you'll join us to our future Zoom gatherings. They're on Fridays throughout this month. If you want to have some face-to-face Elul time, in addition to this, mouth-to-ear Elul time that happens in a podcast. So join us at those. You can head to judaismunbound.com/Elul to sign up for the daily email list and also for those Zoom gatherings. And we also hope that you'll head to JudaismUnbound.com/Elul2020 to just see all of the amazing content that we have been shouting out to and that we'll continue to shout out to with the remainder of the month. It's been fun so far, and we hope you'll join us the rest of the way. So with that, thank you so much for listening. And this has been Judaism Unbound.